We welcome Father Jordy back. I just wish he'd left the hurricane back there in Florida and didn't bring it with him. This is a very intriguing parable of our Lord. And it's interesting that it would fall on the feast of Saint Monica, who is certainly famous for her trading with her talent. She bothered God every day until her son was finally, until the Lord finally said, you know, okay. And so she's responsible for this treasure to the church and beyond the church of Augustine. So what's the parable about? It's about that. See, what's my talent, talents, whatever they are? Do I work with them? Do I never quit? Or do I simply sort of lend myself to a couple of pious things? What am I supposed to be doing with what I've got? And do I work with it? You see, we have this great example in Monica. She knew that she was supposed to pray. She had the gift of knowing, I'm going to pray for my son. And so she did. There are special readings for her feast today, actually, but I kept these because I like to go through the Bible, you know, not more scattering on me. But I do want to tell you, you can look it up yourself. The gospel is Luke, the raising of the son of the widow of Nain, because that's what she did. And so you see, some people say, well, I don't want to work too hard. I'll get distracted. Don't worry. Work hard and the Lord will protect you from getting distracted. But work. What's the work? Well, for everybody, it's a little bit different. That's why the Lord says, you know, they have this talent, or that number and that number. What am I supposed to be doing with my talents? Whatever they are. Now, talent, coming from this parable now, means I have a talent for singing. I have a talent for dancing. Bravo. What's the real talents, though? What's the real wealth? And do I work with it? You know, I was up visiting friends up in New Hampshire. And on the bureau of my, where I was, the room I was in, there was this little card and it said, never, never, never give up. I thought, that's good advice. See this fellow, in the parable, he's afraid. Huh? He's afraid if I, you know, he's going to be mad. He's not going to be mad. It's better. I don't know why it reminds me, but it reminds me of one day at Madonna House, this big dining room, about, I don't know, five times bigger than this chapel or six times big. And there's always discussion after supper, after lunch. So one day, I don't know why Catherine got onto this, but she said, you know, when I die, and I go see the Lord, I'm going to say, no, wait, I tried. That's very smart, you know. But do we try? Of course we try to, you know, make money, raise the family, pay the taxes, do all that stuff. But do we try? It's a interesting, I couldn't stop thinking about Monica. In fact, I was really going to read the reading, and I said, no, I'm going to stick with these. She had the gift of intercession, and she knew it, and she bothered the Lord. Now, she read those parables of our Lord, right? Like the widow with the unjust judge. She kept going back and saying, you know, give me my rights, give me my rights. He said, lady, don't bother me. Finally, he said, this widow is wearing me out. So, you know, if I don't give in pretty soon, and the text really says, she'll slap me across the face sort of thing. You know, she's pretty intent about this. So I'll give her justice. So my Heavenly Father. What a daring thing to say. I prayed for 3 days, nothing happened, I'm going to give up. Of course, I'm fine. And then there's the other one about the fella. You know, he has a neighbor, a friend come in, and he's got nothing to give him. And of course, hospitality in the East. And so he goes over to his neighbor's place. Now, you have to remember, these are little houses. And in the front is the sort of place that is dirt on the poor houses, just dirt. At night, they roll out mats and they all sleep there. In back is where the stove is, where things are kept, and in some houses where the animals are. So this fellow needing bread, he has to climb over all his family, go out to the back, get the bread, climb over all his family, and come back. And he doesn't want to do that. Go home. Tell your friend you'll feed him in the morning. But the guy kept throwing rocks at his window. Right? He kept bothering him. So finally he got up, gave him his bread. Now why would our Lord tell us these sort of things? This parable about working. This parable about praying, being such a bother that God finally gives in. Do you think that's what happens? No. Who's pushing us to keep trying? God. I missed once reading where Moses is interceding for the people. And the Lord gave me such an experience of that intimacy of Moses and the Lord. And how the Lord is so pleased that he's yielding to the work of his Spirit and pleading with them. What are they going to think? The Egyptians, all these Canaanites? You took us out of the desert and you didn't have what it takes to get us into the Holy Land. Is that what they're going to think? Never mind that. If you're going to blot them out, blot me out too. You hear him? Never, never, never give up. So we're looking at this world right now. I hope we are. It's a mess, huh? Probably the whole world has not been in this darkness since before the coming of the Lord. And what are we doing about it? Are we praying? Are we asking the Lord what he wants us to do? Are we witnessing? Are we doing some strong, practical thing? Pro-life. My Lord, saving these children for, you know, to live a life. You can give glory to God. I think I've told you this before, but somebody made this wonderful remark. Somebody was praying to God, Lord, send us leaders. We need saints. We need geniuses. We need great politicians. We need... And the Lord said, I sent them, but you killed them. And so you see, this gospel has got a lot to say to us about not frenetic work, not nervous work, not self-reliant work, just good old-fashioned work. You know, rely on the Lord. If you really get something into your heart that you want to do and you get it discerned, go. And if it's praying and praying and praying, who do you think is pushing you to pray like that? God. He wants that intercession to come from this earth. I'm a little over time probably, but I've got one more thing to say. I'm not really too far over time yet. But I'll talk fast. You see, it says in Romans 8, about 14, 15, 16 in there, that we don't know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit of God comes to our aid and prays within us with unutterable groanings. That's how much God wants prayer out of a human heart. He'll put it there. A little later on in 28, same chapter, he's talking about Jesus, you know, the one who gave his life and who is always living, making intercession for us. Now, put those two together. What is the Holy Spirit doing? He's taking the intercession, the care, the concern, the strive from the heart of Christ and putting it into us. That's the prayer the Spirit works in us. That's why Paul says, and he who reads hearts knows that the Spirit is praying according to the mind of God. So when you feel like interceding, I mean really, not just a big emotion thing, that's the Holy Spirit moving you to share in the intercession of Christ in heaven. These things have to exist on earth and not just in heaven. Why would our Lord say, why didn't he just say, will you come together and think about my passion and resurrection? That'll be enough. Why does he say, take this bread, take this wine? Because he wants to be present in a human way and lead our prayer and bring us into contact with him. So that when we receive his body and his blood, we're saying, here, take it. You know, take over my life. That act of love in which you died, I want it in me. For my own salvation. But also, Lord, look at the mess. How many million children murdered? How many people dying of starvation? How many people so happy to be atheists and so screwed up, it's unbelievable. Into dope and sex and alcohol and rebellion and whatever. Anyway, that's enough. But you do get the idea, I guess. The moral of the parable is work.